It's time now to go beyond the headlines and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hey, welcome in. Hello, hello, hello. Happy Monday, everybody. That's Jesse Tapia filling in for James Hamm. James back tomorrow. I'm Kyle Madsen. I'm here every day for the most part.
You are, yeah.
I try to be.
About 95% of the time.
I try to be. I really try to be. I say that right before I go on vacation.
Yeah, you are going on. Yeah.
I go on vacation for a week, and then the Tuesday I get back, you and Charlie are deuces.
Oh, yeah. I'll be gone for a while.
You're taking time off,
yeah.
And we love it for you. We love it, as you should. As you should. I did not do that. Because are you doing wedding and
so
then
the week of the wedding,
honeymoon?
Like, meaning, yeah, the week of the wedding leading up to it, I'm only going to be here on Monday.
Okay.
Come hang out at the chatty house for a bit of the guys, and then I'm out of here. And then the entire week off after that, after the wedding.
Great.
Yeah.
Are you going on a honeymoon, or are you just...
Yeah, we'll be in LA, just going to Disneyland for a few days.
Love
going
that.
To Universal, just going to hang out.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's the move. I think the Thursday and Friday before the wedding off, wedding Saturday, and then I might have taken a Monday and Tuesday, but I was back at work pretty quick because our honeymoon wasn't until May and we got married in March. So you're doing it right is the moral of my story. We have NFL to talk about, but go ahead.
There was a point where it was kind of like, oh yeah, I think I'm just going to take the Wednesday, Thursday off before the wedding. Wedding's on Friday. And then we'll be, because it's kind of looked at me like, oh, you're only going to take 2 days off? No, I'll take most of the week off then.
Like, no, I'm taking that.
Yeah, what am I talking about?
Yeah, your time. Yeah. Use it. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We've got a big Raiders game tonight that you can hear right here on ESPN 1320. Coverage begins at 6:30, but hopefully you're down at Sky River watching that game with D'Lo and KC. They're going to be at 32 Bruce Street. You got to be 21 and over to get in, but it's going to be a lot of football talk. It's going to be a great time. There is not a better place in the greater Sacramento region to watch sports than at 32 Bruce Street.
Yeah, could you go sit outside too? The weather's a little bit perfect right now, so you want to go sit
a little bit perfect?
Well, yeah, because I don't know. Some people might, like, it might be a little chilly or whatever. Either way, you can sit out there and go chill if you want.
Yeah.
That's my vibe.
Indoors, outdoors, yeah, there's TVs, there's sound. Going to be a ton of people there. It'll be a really, really great time. Again, got to be 21 and up, 32 Brewer Street, 7 p.m. kickoff.
Now you got me thinking what a little bit charges. Perfect is. This is a little perfect, you know? It's not like this whole thing. It's a little perfect.
I think that's just good. Like, man, the weather's good. Not the weather's perfect. God, the weather was a little perfect.
I'm going to work on that. I'm going to see what that actually means.
I think there's words for
that
already.
I've been saying that my whole life. And it's like, yeah, maybe Kyle's right.
No, it's to me, it's either good or bad or like, to me, 71 and sunny is like perfect.
Yeah.
That's perfect to me.
Shout out Steven.
Maybe 73 is a little perfect.
Well, like I said, we'll workshop this. Shout out Steven Kesson. Yes, it'll be at 32 Bruce tonight too.
Hell yeah. Let's go. If you're going to be out there, shout us out and we will try and shout you out. For pulling up Raiders Chargers tonight, 32 Brewer Street, with D'Lo and KC out at Sky River Casino. All right, before we get into that, though, the 49ers pulled out a 26-21 win over the New Orleans Saints yesterday.
Yeah, game did not go the way I thought at all.
Yeah, way more offense than I was expecting.
Yeah, I was thinking 14-10, Niners are going to struggle to move the ball a bit, Saints will make it ugly. Nah, they put up 26 points. Spencer Rattler might be good, might not be good, I don't know.
I think Spencer Rattler's good.
Spencer Rattler... Back in college, we're talking about before the show. He was like, kind of like, oh, if he's like, kind of realizes his potential here at college, he might be a first round pick. Never did, so never, was not a first round pick news, but he's got talent.
He was supposed to be like next.
Yes.
And then it just, there was some off field stuff. There's something with his dad. I feel like there was something with his dad, but no, he's very clearly a talented player, and I thought he was really good yesterday. Chris Olave dropping a touchdown on their first drive, let him down. Juwan Johnson, who had an incredible touchdown catch later in the game, dropped
Shout
two passes.
Rashid Shaheed. Helping out my fantasy team.
Oh, I thought you were talking about drops.
No.
I thought he was really good yesterday. Do you feel better or worse about the 49ers after Sunday?
I feel better. I was not expecting that from Mac Jones. I feel a lot better about the 49ers.
A lot better?
Yes, a lot.
Okay.
And because we were talking about the 5-game stretch that he could be playing, and if Brock Purdy misses all 5 games, and I don't even know if I'm ready to just move off of my 2-3 prediction, but I feel a lot better just given he played quarterback the way I didn't think he was going to. Like, I didn't think he was going to throw three touchdowns or whatever, have 200, what was it, 70-some yards?
Yeah, 279, I think.
Yeah, 279. He played a lot better than I thought. So it's just maybe if the defense isn't able to just get a stop every time or whatever, all right, Mac Jones can help lead a drive if they need it.
Yeah, it
makes
felt,
me feel better maybe about the Rams and the Buccaneers games. Maybe it's not so hopeless.
Yeah, and that's assuming Brock Purdy misses all that time. He may or may not. There were reports that his rehab's going great and all and all that. I'm sure there will be more news throughout the week. Kyle Shanahan is set to speak with reporters this afternoon on a conference call. There will be nothing Tuesday, and then we'll get another update from him on Wednesday. But, yeah, man, I
feel like you felt maybe the other way.
No, I think I feel better because Mac Jones went 26 of 39, which is not bad. You complete 67% of your throws. You feel good about it. But he looked awful on the first drive. He went 0-for-3.
Yeah.
So he finished the game 26 of 36, and I thought Juwan Jennings probably should have had that last third down that Jones fit into a tight window. It might have been a little bit out in front of him, but I thought that was a pass he could have grabbed. I was pleasantly surprised by Mac. And again, I didn't think Mac Jones was bad.
No, yeah, he was fine. He was good.
But I didn't anticipate the 49ers throwing it 39 times with him. I didn't anticipate him not making the backbreaking mistake that we've seen him make so many times when he was with the Jaguars. He was rock solid.
He was a little perfect.
He's a little perfect. I will say he was sacked three times. All three of those sacks for me were on him.
Yeah, that's the downside.
You gotta throw the damn ball, dude.
Yeah, and he's just a statue in the pocket where he's not. We talked about it last week. He's just not gonna move around and extend the player. Like, he's either gonna, you hope, throw it away, or yeah, he's taking that sack.
Yeah, it's and awesome. And the. And he actually had their longest run of the day, a little 13-yard scamper, but the protection was good yesterday, and you can't stand there and hold the football. And there was a play where he took on the strip sack by the Saints. Colton McKivitz knocked down the pass rusher on that play, put him on the ground. And there was still time for him to get up and get to Jones before he threw it. Like, if I'm nitpicking, that's a nit I'm going to pick. Like, you got to get rid of the ball, man.
Well, I don't think that's nitpicking. That's just something a quarterback needs to have, that internal clock they talk about, where as soon as it's like, all right, 2-3 seconds, doesn't matter what you think, you got to get out of there.
Yeah.
Because it's just the way the game goes.
J.J. McCarthy last night.
Yeah, shout out.
That was
not a tough. Not a great Falcons. Game. Yes, my Falcons. Good, shout out.
Yeah, they look good. We'll get into that a little bit. Yeah, I think I feel better about the 49ers and their defense. Not great that they gave up 21 to a not so good Saints team. Mm. But I think you saw here's why I feel better after yesterday. If you want to play the pessimist card and go, "Oh, they gave up 21 to the Saints. The defense isn't actually that good." Okay. Mac Jones isn't going to do that again. Like, sure, man. I guess like that's definitely a way you can feel. But for me, you saw Mykel Williams, to me, was a lot better in week two than he was in week one. And rookie improvement and young player improvement through the year is going to be something we track and something that has a pretty dramatic effect on the 49ers' success this year. I thought he was much better yesterday. I thought Upton Stout was better yesterday. He got hit with a flag late in that game that I did not think was a flag.
Yeah.
It was an illegal contact call on a third down that I didn't see the illegal contact. I thought he played it about as perfectly as you can play it. But you see improvement there. And ultimately, in the two drives where they needed to get stops, they got them.
Yeah, that's the thing about these games, too. When you're out here with your backup quarterback, I feel it's kind of like literally any given Sunday where it's like, I don't need the 49ers to, I guess, be who they're going to be in December or whatever,
exactly.
Or just who they're going to be in November. Mm-hmm. It's just on this given day, I need you to do enough to just get the win with the backup quarterback.
And that's it.
Like, yeah, you gave up 21 to the Saints. The Saints are an NFL team. They have solid offense skill players, Alvin Kamara and all that. Like, just that day you did give up 21. You know what? The offense did enough to get the job done. So, like, yeah, you can't take a pessimistic view to it, but also I think it just kind of survived through this little stretch. And then once Brock Purdy's back, all right, now put up consistent performances.
It's tough in the NFL. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there. You're not going to be who you are in December and September.
Or even like just with Brock Purdy and those guys. Like, you're playing with a backup quarterback, so you have to, it's makeshift now.
Yes.
Now it's about, can you get the win coming out of that game?
style points never matter, right? Yep. A win is a win is a win. The style points don't matter. The reason people talk about style points is because we always try and project.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're projecting this version of the 49ers right now, like, yeah, they're probably not going to go very far.
Yes.
Because I don't...
Because no one expected Mac Jones to take this team very far.
Right. And just and Kyle Juszczyk gets hurt, and George Kittle's out, and Brandon Ayuk's still out, and Juwan Jennings is banged up, and Dominic Pooney, their right guard, is banged up, and they lose their starting left guard yesterday. Like, they're super banged up, but they just kind of figured it out. And mm-hmm. early in the year, and we'll talk about this with some other games later, at this point of the season, you just take a win however you can get it.
Exactly.
You just take, and especially if you're on the road, early start, your backup quarterback, a bunch of injuries on offense, you're questioning whether Trent Williams is going to play going into the game, you're questioning whether Juwan Jennings is going to play going into the game, and you just figured out a way to win. If this is what the 49ers are roster-wise in December, yeah, I don't like their chances to go to the playoffs. Mm. But it's not December. It's mid-September.
Right here, Brian Cavett in the chat says, well, yeah. He beat the Saints. He hasn't taken them anywhere yet. The only part of this sentence that matters is, well, he beat the Saints. And then you move.
Yep.
I'm not expecting Mac Jones to take them anywhere and do anything. I'm not even expecting him to throw 3 touchdowns again next week against the Cardinals.
Nope.
It's all about the first sentence.
They might lose next week against the Cardinals. Cardinals look pretty good. But you'd rather be 2-0 in this situation than 1-1, because that gives you a little bit of wiggle room for week 6, week 7, week 8, when you start to get some players back and you start to look like a more complete roster. Mm. You're not in this massive trench that you need to dig out of.
Exactly.
And maybe they lose next week, and then maybe they lose to Jacksonville. Now they're going Thursday night against the Rams. They got to go on the road, and we're talking disaster. But right now, after week 2, I feel better about the 49ers' chances. I said if Brock Purdy's going to miss 5 games, which he may or may not, we don't know, can he be 3-3 when he comes back? I like their chances even better now to get to 3-3, at least, than I did going into Sunday.
Yeah,
I'm just defensively, like, and this goes to the coaching staff, like, yeah, they gave up 21 yesterday, but you know what? I'm going to trust Robert Saleh to figure that out. I'm going to trust that they have enough personnel that is ascending, whether it's Michael Williams, Alfred Collins got a ways to go, but C.J. West, or whether it's Jordan Elliott or Kalia Davis, who's finally getting real snaps for the first time in his career. Like, Fred Warner is playing like a maniac. D. Winter's playing like a maniac. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to put it on them to figure it out.
It's also week 2, so yes, we should give them time to figure it out.
Right.
The biggest thing is that they're 2-0 right now.
Yep, that's it. And that's the other thing. Speaking of the coaching staff, I know Kyle Shanahan gets dragged a lot. That was a dynamite.
Shout out TC.
Dynamite coaching job yesterday.
Yeah. Like, CMC did not need 30 touches, like I said.
Nope, 19.
Mm-hmm.
Got to...
what the hell do I know, Kyle?
Got to 19 touches. Well, because...
Kyle was able to spread it out.
Yeah. Well, pause.
Damn, all right. Hey, I'm trying to talk football. I'm trying to talk football here. Don't do that. Don't do that. We could have kept going.
It's illegal hands to the face. It's automatic first down.
I'll take a lap, I guess. Jeez.
Defense him back. No, it was I always say, like, the quarterback is the player who's distributing the football. Hey, the coach isn't going, all right, hey, and there are some plays where we're going to run this play action to get George Kittle open. We're going to trust that the linebacker is going to crash and the safety is going to take that route. So George is going to be open. That's going to be your first read.
Yeah.
But it's not like he's going, hey, we're going to long-ass complicated play call, throw it to Juwan.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, too, when I say he's able to just get the football to other places, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, we're not dialing up 25 design CMC runs. Oh, yeah, check it down mm-hmm. 10 times here. It's just more so, all right, we're going to play like a real normal game plan today.
Yeah, Mac Jones functioned like a starting quarterback. And that's what the 49ers needed yesterday. And they needed him to be as good as he was, and I was really impressed by Mac Jones. And again, if you're going to drag Kyle Shanahan anytime anything goes a little bit wrong, I think you have to give him credit for games like yesterday.
Yeah, but sports.
Yeah. What are you going to do? You know?
Be rational?
Hey, Alvin Kamara, I saw this stat yesterday on the broadcast. He has lost 7 fumbles in his career, which is a low number for the amount of touches he gets. He has lost 4 in 4 games against the 49ers and 3 in the other 113 games he's played.
So it's just something about the 49ers that they know about him and no one else does?
Might just be Fred Warner.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Fred Warner's very good at punching the ball out.
Yeah.
Is Alvin Kamara a Hall of Famer?
No. I love Alvin Kamara, 1,000%.
It's a hard no. That was a quick no for you.
He's never rushed for 1,000 yards in his career.
I know.
And he's got five Pro Bowls, which is, that was cool at one point, but now the Pro Bowl is kind of a joke. So it's like, those accolades don't really matter. And also, I don't.
Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Five-time Pro Bowler.
I don't think CMC is a Hall of Famer either. So it's like, if I'm not putting him in there, I can't put Kamara in there.
Alvin Kamara has gone over.
He's Hall of, like, really good.
He's gone over.
He's Hall of a little perfect.
He's gone over 1,000 scrimmage yards in his first 8 years, and he's gone over 1,307 of those.
Okay,
8 years.
Okay, yeah, like, I'm looking at his wide receiver numbers. He's not a Hall of Famer, but he was a really good playmaker over his career. I mean, he
scored a lot of touchdowns too.
Yeah,
I think he needs another really, really big year. At some point. And I don't know if he's going to get there at age 30.
Oh, yeah. I think he's done. No Hall of Fame for
his receiving numbers are just ridiculous.
We're going to have to lie, like, to the, like, not even lie. Just the kids one day are going to piss us off. All right. The future generations.
Oh, 1,000%.
Like, look at Kamara. He never ran for 1,000 yards. But look. Look at his receiving numbers.
In 15 years, if I'm talking sports with someone who's like 20, and they're like, yeah. That's a 20-year-old sound in my head. Yeah. Alvin Kamara never even rushed for 1,000 yards. It's going to be like, you don't even know.
Exactly.
I'm going to sound like the biggest Alvin Kamara stan. Alvin Kamara just exists, right?
Yeah.
Insofar as, like, he plays against the 49ers sometimes. That's as much as Alvin Kamara exists in my brain. I've never even had him on a fantasy team.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's pretty fun.
So I've never even had this guy on a fantasy team. And somebody at some point is going to try and tell me that Alvin Kamara wasn't good, and I'm going to sound like the biggest Alvin Kamara stan that's ever existed.
He's over 10,000 total yards from just receiving
and
rushing.
He's almost at 12,000.
Yeah. His touchdown numbers are solid. I think, yeah, about 86 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Hall of great.
All right. Hall of great. We had a Raider game to talk about. We had a perfect red zone afternoon. Jesse's Falcons got a dominant.
My Falcons.
Dominant win.
22-6, yes.
Dominant win. And, hey, day 71.
Kuminga Watch.
We actually have news, like, for real. We'll talk about it on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Hanging out with you till noon on ESPN 1320.
Now, back to The Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
No James Hamm today. Jesse Tapia filling in. I'm Kyle Madsen. No one's in the studio.
Yeah.
No one's behind the glass.
Just a bunch of darkness
just
in there.
Just empty. Sat in the dark today and cut a bunch of sound.
Hey, working in the dark is not bad.
Nah, that's what, if we did not do this show on video, these lights wouldn't be on.
Yeah.
Like, if people didn't tap in on youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320 to watch the program, yeah, I would be fully in the dark.
No, back in college, if, like, I had a paper due within a couple hours or whatever and I just needed to lock in, lights were off, only thing is on the computer screen, we're just ready to go.
It's horrible for your eyes.
It worked, though. It worked. I don't do it anymore. I'm not blind.
I had a professor one time philosophy course.
I took philosophy my first year at Sac State.
And you might have had the same professor as me.
Yeah, glasses?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you if that, I know it was a woman.
Oh,
if
no,
she walked
professor.
In the room right now, I wouldn't recognize her. I'd be like, oh, a new salesperson. Wouldn't have a clue.
I don't think I would recognize my professor, but if he walked in and he was a guy with curly hair and some glasses and said, I was your philosophy teacher, I would have been, all right, yeah, you probably were.
Yeah, I think it would clock that I know that person, but it wouldn't clock like, oh, yeah, that's your philosophy. I took the one class. Anyways, she did, to avoid people procrastinating, she made us turn in our paper in pieces throughout the semester.
Really?
Yeah, so there was like, you have your intro. You have your, there was a different, not there's like intro body conclusion, but the body was broken up into like two different things.
Mm-hmm.
And once you turned in the entire paper, or once you turned in a section of the paper, she would go through with a red pen and it's philosophy. There's no right answer, but she would just circle and make sure that like you're defending your arguments correctly and this and that. It was awesome.
Yeah.
So by the time the paper was due, I had all the sections back with all the markings, and I went through, and on the last night, edited everything out and turned it in. I think I got an A in the class.
My initial reaction was that I hate that, but then that's just more so like, hey, let me fail on my own, or just let me do it. No, and also like, no, that teacher probably really cared about you guys, and that probably would have helped.
That's it. She didn't. It wasn't like we want you to avoid procrastinating.
Yeah.
It was like, I want to give you feedback. And instead of making us turn in a whole paper at once where she red marked the whole thing and then we got to fix it. Nah, here, you're going to take your intro. I'm going to red mark it. Here you go. The intro body, whatever. Yeah, I'm going to mark it. It was great. Yeah, I really appreciate it.
Shout out to all the teachers in the world.
Hell yeah. We love you, teachers.
That's facts.
That's Jesse. I'm Kyle. No James today. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. So before we get into to some Raiders, Chargers, and day 71 of Kuminga Watch, we got a ton of NFL stuff to get into, including, I don't want to talk a lot about the Dolphins' loss to the Patriots.
Thanks.
We'll get to it a little bit.
He says wearing his Dolphin sweater.
We'll get to it a little bit later, but I need you, I have a soundbite I want to play, and so I need to play the whole audio.
Yeah.
This is Mike McDaniel postgame.
Yeah, go ahead and play this. Matt George, I think, tagged me in this. I have not heard it.
You're disassociating.
Yeah, Kyron tweeted it to me, I think. It was the quote.
Sure. Here's Mike McDaniel. I've never heard a coach sound more fired.
Okay, let's go.
This is the most fired I've ever heard a coach sound. Here's Mike McDaniel after the Dolphins lost to the Patriots yesterday.
I need to do a better job supervising all of the orchestration within our multiple personnel groups. So to win games, you have to win the game, not lose the game, honestly. And that is how you lose the game. You're moving the ball down the field. You're first and 10, and then you find yourself at second and 20. That was critical. To win games, you have to win the game, not lose the game.
All right, smartass. How about you go win it then? Oh, no. I really hate
that's
that
the most
that.
Fired a coach has ever sounded.
I'm so tired of it because it's like when he got here, he was like, oh, yeah, Mike McDaniel, so quirky, blah, 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 says all these things. Like, dude, it's gotten to a point where, like
it's cute
I can't
when,
cuss
when
on
you're
this
winning.
Show, so I can't even say what I want to say. But you have to Thank care, you. At least care a little bit. At least give something instead of, yeah, well, you know, one team wins. You know, we got to move the ball down the field. Like, give something. The team is on its last leg. We're about to blow it up again. And, like, you still want to be a smartass.
He is. He is playing Madden. He's down 28-3. There's 8 minutes left. And he's like, hey, can I just pass the sticks?
Yes.
And the guy he's playing against is like, no, we got to finish the game.
Like, I'm not even team Mike McDaniel at this point, but like, damn, bro, like, do something.
That's the most, at least Mike Brown, the game he got fired, he was in the press conference, like, talking about how De'Aaron Fox, and he just, we talked about this, and he lost focus, and da 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 da.
Yeah.
He was like angrily reacting to the game.
Yeah,
we all kind of knew the deal, like, oh, that's probably going to get him ousted. Mm-hmm. We all kind of knew.
Like, you don't.
But
you don't get to be that guy, okay? Like, I'm sorry. What you do doesn't work. You don't get to. I don't even know if he's doing, like, oh, like, I'm just smarter than everyone or whatever. I don't even think it's that. But just more so, like, you got to give something. You can't just be like, yeah, like, just be a smartass.
So that's the thing is, I think being a smartass is just kind of Mike McDaniel's default setting.
Mm-hmm.
I think he doesn't know what to say. Because he knows that he and that team are cooked.
Yeah.
Like, they have a game Thursday against the Bills.
They've been cooked.
In Buffalo.
They've been cooked since Tyreek Hill quit on them in the last game of the season last year. Their offseason issues, not even offseason, they're just team issues within the locker room, whatever, have been well noted. Everyone knew about them. It's kind of like, hey, are you going to do something about this? Are you going to do something about this? They did nothing about it. Tyreek Hill's back, blah, blah, blah. Nothing has changed, and all the problems are still there. Now everyone knows what it is. You had a team meeting after week one to make sure everyone was still locked in.
A players only meeting after week one.
Players only meeting, yes. Blow it up. Mike McDaniel, go home. You can play with the rest of the season. And then we will be drafting a quarterback round one next year. Tyreek Hill should have been traded 3 months ago. It's bad.
Can I interest you in Mac Jones for a second round pick?
The old me would have said yes. But I'm old enough to remember. When we gave up a second round pick for Josh Rosen.
Ooh.
Yes, the 35th.
Yeah, but okay.
The 35th pick in the draft, mind you.
Okay. But.
And I also watched Mac Jones play for the Patriots.
Okay. No, that's fair. But did you see him play for the 49ers yesterday?
Yes.
Looked a lot better.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes. No, I get all that. But like I said, I've been here before.
So the 49ers signed Mac Jones to a two-year deal. I think a team is going to trade draft capital for him this offseason. If he plays, now let me, this is reacting based on week two.
Yes.
If he continues playing, whether it's for one more week or two more weeks, as well as he played, or largely as well as he played on Sunday, I think teams are going to give up a legitimate asset to get Mac Jones this offseason.
How many years is on Daniel Jones' current deal? I'm looking it up, but maybe you know off the top of your head.
No. I'm assuming it's a one-year deal for Daniel Jones.
Okay, he's got a one-year deal. I would have said that he'd be the quarterback to do that, but yeah, he'll be a free agent. I mean, I guess it could be Mac, but yeah, I don't hate that. Like, what is draft capital, though?
Fifth round or third round pick?
Oh.
It's a quarterback, man.
It is. But again,
if he's playing okay. But if he's playing really well, look at the.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
Just, I'm gonna fight your point right now. I don't think you can give up a second or third round pick for five games, though.
Okay.
Dumber teams have, like the Miami Dolphins. But again, I don't think that's like if Mac Jones did it for a whole season, then sure. Yeah, if he played well for a whole season, 16, 17 games, whatever it is now, sure, give a second round pick, third round pick. But I don't think you can do that for just five. However many games he gets this season, because we have seen enough of Mac Jones where it's like we do have a pretty decent idea of who he is. So it's like we're gonna let five games just kind of change that. Might not even
Sam
be five
Darnold,
either.
Sam Darnold got $10 million for 1 year for the from the Vikings for one game with the 49ers where he didn't even play well.
Yeah, it's $10 million, not a second round pick. Second round pick is more valuable than $10 million.
Mitchell Trubisky got paid by the Steelers after backing up Josh Allen for a year in Buffalo. I'm just saying.
They got money.
The 49ers traded a second-round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo after he'd played, what, four games for the Patriots and gotten hurt?
Yeah, but that's...
Jimmy
Garoppolo took him to the Super Bowl, though.
No, he didn't.
Well, they went to the Super Bowl with Jimmy. 2019.
The Patriots?
No, I mean the Niners.
The 49ers traded a second-round pick to acquire Jimmy Garoppolo.
They traded a pick for a guy that took him to the Super Bowl, though. I don't think you're giving up a second-round pick thinking Mac Jones can do that. I think you were training for Jimmy Garoppolo thinking this is our... I guess you would be thinking the same about Mac Jones, but I don't know. That's what I'm saying. But there was less tape on Jimmy, less film on Jimmy, though, too. There was more upside in the thought of what he could be with Mac Jones. We've seen him already fail with New England. He was the backup with the Jags, and that was one thing, but...
I feel like those
situations are different.
We saw him fail in New England, where... Oh, my God. Like, Mac Jones is only a year younger than Sam Darnold. That's throwing me off right now. You saw him have a couple of bad years in New England while there was a bunch of organizational tumult in New England.
Mm-hmm.
Then he went to the Jags, where they're a mess.
Yes.
They have fired coaches and GMs. They're just a disaster. He gets to San Francisco. If he continues playing well, that's the caveat.
No, I get that.
If he comes out and stinks against the Cardinals and throws three interceptions and then throws two interceptions against the Jags and he goes 1-2 as a starter, maybe that changes it. And it's like, oh, Mac Jones is just Mac Jones. But if he plays well over the next two games, I very much think that because Sam Darnold got $10 million from Minnesota, put together a really good year, and then got paid by Seattle. Baker Mayfield has had a massive career turnaround.
Yeah,
I think
I don't doubt that Mac Jones could get like the $10 million deal, but he's
under contract. I think a team, because the 49ers are not just going to give him away. But if you're Pittsburgh, Mac Jones plays really well in three starts. He had to come in garbage time of a couple of games and did well enough.
Okay, I guess
you talk yourself into it.
Yeah, All right, fine. I can see a team doing it. I don't think the team would be successful after they did it, and I think it'd be a massive mistake.
Sure, that's
mistake.
Not the question.
Yeah, no, fine, yes. I guess that's probably what I'm arguing, yes.
NFL teams are stupid.
Yeah, that'd be idiotic to do, but yes. Like, yes, this has happened. Fine, yes,
yes,
fine, it could happen.
The Colts could do it. The Steelers could do it. The Dolphins? Dolphins interested?
Don't put that evil on me.
And a little Mac Jones?
Don't put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. You're right. Then if we're doing that, if I was GMing, I would never give up a second round pick or third round pick for Mac Jones. But yeah, we've seen it before. Again, I think the Jimmy Garoppolo thing was a little bit different because it was just more so Tom Brady's still there and Jimmy's just not going to get his time. So maybe he can be the starting quarterback.
Sure.
Which is your franchise quarterback for your team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're thinking that with Mac Jones, but
give up a second round pick for him.
No, I know that. Yeah. Like I said, though, there was less we seen from Jimmy G at the time. There was more we seen from Mac Jones, which is why I wouldn't do it. Yeah.
All right. That's fine. Hey, speaking of Sam Darnold, former Minnesota Viking. Minnesota jettisons Sam Darnold. Not even a franchise tag.
Yes, no. And it was like pretty well known even before the season ended.
They're rolling with J.J. McCarthy, who has played 8 quarters. He's had 1 good quarter. Are you up or down on Minnesota right now?
Can I be neutral?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'm neutral. Like, I'm not.
Wait, no, not on this show. What the? No, you can't be neutral.
I'm down then. I'm down. Fine. They just lost. They got waxed by the Falcons on national TV. I'm down, I guess. But also, like, I'm not like, oh, yeah, J.J. McCarthy just doesn't have it. He's essentially a rookie quarterback who just played his second game.
I've got.
This is kind of what I expected. I'm not expecting him to do what Sam Darnold did last year. Mm-hmm. And I know Kevin O'Connell is his quarterback guru, but also, like, J.J. McCarthy needs to develop.
Yeah, he's holding the ball too long last night, for sure. I also think what we talk about this with the 49ers a lot. We may talk about it depending on how the Raiders-Chargers game goes tonight. We might talk about it with the Raiders a little bit tomorrow. But we talk about the importance of offensive line play all the time. There is not a person sitting in this studio, not a person listening to this program. Like I said, if you've watched the Raiders over the last couple of years, if you've watched the 49ers over the last few years, you know the importance of offensive line play. Everybody knows that. That's not a that's
you
not
win
a
in the trenches.
Thing. Got to win in the trenches.
Newsflash.
I am pinning, before I decide to punt on J.J. McCarthy or the Vikings, I need to wait and see him behind a real version of Minnesota's typically very good offensive line.
Yeah.
But they were down their left tackle last night. The left tackle who started is a guy named Justin School, who used to play for the 49ers and was not a particularly effective player with San Francisco. And then he got hurt in the middle of the game. So they were down to their third string left tackle. Their starting center gets hurt in the middle of the game. So now you have a backup center, the most important position on the offensive line to some people, and certainly for a young quarterback, changing protections, making sure the snap gets where it needs to go, and a third string left tackle. Like, I don't think Minnesota or J.J. McCarthy had a chance last night, given that situation.
Yeah, backup line play in the NFL is also not great. You're not just rolling in some left tackle and it's like, all right, guys, we're going to be good. Like, no, you're going to feel that. And if you got 3-2, doesn't matter, however many makeshift offensive linemen on there, like, yeah, you're going to feel that.
People say this all the time about the 49ers. Well, they need more depth on the offensive line.
Doesn't
Brothers,
exist.
There's no one
doesn't
with
exist.
Depth on the offensive line.
That is just a talking point, but it does not exist.
The fact that the 49ers had a player, Connor Colby, seventh-round rookie, who came in at left guard after their starter, Ben Bartsch, got hurt yesterday, and he played well, is a miracle.
Yeah, you just hope that the lineman that's coming in can be serviceable and your quarterback can get the ball out in time.
That's it. That is what you're hoping for. So that's why that was not a fun game to watch last night.
And I say I'm down on the Vikings, but I also didn't have them like going to the playoffs this season. I mean,
yeah, me neither.
Shout out to the Bears. I guess we'll talk about them later, I'm assuming. But
yeah, we will.
Like, maybe the Vikings finished third or whatever in the division, but like I didn't have them going to the playoffs. So like, I guess I don't want to say like, oh yeah, I saw this coming, but just more so I'm expecting them to kind of struggle this year with J.J. McCarthy, have some ups and downs. Like,
yeah.
They could be a 7-win team, and like I wouldn't be like, oh yeah, Vikings are in trouble, blah, blah, blah. It's just, no, they won 7 games with a rookie quarterback.
It's my biggest,
second year, but you know.
It's my biggest concern for the Raiders tonight, playing against the Chargers.
Mm.
We both have the Raiders to cover, by the way.
Buddy, we are overreacting. Like, it's
Raiders
nobody's business
half,
if the
baby.
Raiders win tonight. We are overreacting.
But I don't even know if it's an overreaction, dude. So they go on the road week one, you beat the Patriots, that's a good win no matter how you want to slice it.
Yes.
It's a really good win. If you come home and beat the Chargers, who looked awesome in week one, who had extra days of rest.
You're coming, I mean, the Chargers haven't played their second game yet, neither have the Raiders, but you're coming out of yesterday thinking, the Chargers are probably the best team in the AFC West right now. Just given
how
they
play.
Yeah, yeah.
By a lot. And if the Raiders win tonight, I think it's just a reaction to be like, hey, they might be the best team in the AFC West.
See, that feels like an overreaction, but maybe it's just the Raiders is why it feels that way.
No, I think it is. And I think it's
because
it's
we're
going to give Kansas City the benefit of the doubt, but Kansas City looks like ass right now.
Yeah.
Now, granted, they've played two very good teams to open the year. We'll see how that develops. But right now, man, they don't look good. The Broncos don't look good. We'll talk about them later. And if the Raiders beat the Chargers head-to-head in Las Vegas, I would have a really hard time not going, like, yeah, sure, why not? Because I was already up
on
Vegas.
Yeah. And I question it, but it's kind of like, all right, then who am I going to put? Like, they just beat the Chargers. The Chiefs are 0-2, and the Broncos, like you said, we'll talk about later. It's like, they don't look great either.
Yeah. My biggest
concern. I guess it wouldn't be an overreaction, but it'd be weird.
My biggest concern, though, is that offensive front. where Ashton Gentry runs for 25 yards. Mm-hmm. And Geno Smith looks a little bit more like the Geno Smith that Seattle got rid of, where he doesn't have all day to throw. He throws a couple of yellow balls, a couple of big interceptions.
Maybe Khalil Mack has another game of his life against the Raiders.
Yeah, as he is wont to do. That is the number one thing that I look at tonight. I think it's going to be competitive. I think it's going to be a good game. Like I said, you and I both have the Raiders covering the 3.5 points. But
it's a long season, but either way, coming out of it, do we come out of it knowing who the Raiders are or have a pretty good idea whether they win or lose?
Maybe. I'll answer that next. We'll also take a look around the NFL next. We'll have some fun talking about some highlights from yesterday's action. Jesse Toppy in for James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen, and we'll be back in a second.
Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm going to go around the NFL here in a second, but I think boxing is the biggest, like, blind spot in my sports viewing.
Yeah, that's pretty good by you to, I guess, block it out that much, because, like, that was one of the bigger fights, I think, in the last few years.
Yeah, clearly.
Recent memory.
Like, I knew that Canelo Crawford was a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Which is very different.
We were out on Saturday, but we had to make sure we knew where we were watching the fight and just make sure we had it all set up.
Yeah, and this isn't, I don't hate boxing. It's just a thing I've never been into.
Yeah. Like,
I just don't know how I missed everything with that fight. Because I knew it was happening. I knew it was a big deal. Couldn't have told you why it was a big deal. I now know after doing some research.
Were you on Twitter on Saturday?
Apparently not.
Like, yeah, what were you doing on Saturday? Maybe you just didn't have the phone with you or something. Because, like, I figured you follow a lot of people, right? A decent amount?
Yeah.
I figured it had to come across your timeline, but maybe not.
I guess I
maybe you're just locked in where you just got it all just shaped
watched
up.
Wednesday on Saturday night. Great show.
I tried.
Just tapped in.
The first few episodes of the second season were great. So I was like, Crystal, you got this one.
Oh, wow. Yeah, love the second season. Really enjoyed it. Watched some Only Murders in the Building. Got caught up on that.
I
got
to start that one with Crystal.
Really enjoy that show. Yeah. So I think that's just, and I guess I wasn't plugged in on Twitter, but yeah, I was sitting there yesterday, I was putting the show together, and I'm looking, I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Who won?
It was two of the greatest fighters of this generation that fought.
Yeah.
Bud Crawford whipped Canelo's ass, which hurt my heart, but it's fine.
Can you give me this in football terms?
Football terms, it'd be like Lamar versus Mahomes or something like that, I guess. If we want to go, yeah, best quarterbacks of this generation going up against each other. Maybe Lamar got Mahomes this time.
All right. Very good. Let's go around the NFL. Let's listen to some highlights. I actually got a bed for it this time.
Oh, we got music?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. All right. Oh, where's my cheat sheet for this? Where is it? All right, here we go. Let's go around the NFL. We're talking about this game a little bit earlier, and we will start in Dallas.
46 to try and win this thriller. Aubrey got it into overtime and now wins it. What a ball game. Cowboys in OT.
Shout out to Fox, Joe Davis, and Greg Olson with the call. Brandon Aubrey's 46-yard game winner lifts the Cowboys to a 40-37 win over the Giants. This was a, like, Hawks versus Nets-ass game.
Yeah, none of these teams are very good or not really expecting either of them to do anything this season. So, yeah, I agree with that.
But it was so entertaining.
The Giants. Like, I wanted to be like, oh, yeah, like, they're going to be good. Star Jackson Dart was like Russell Wilson threw for 400 million yards yesterday, so.
450 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a pick. He completed 30 of 41 throws.
We've got kickers out here just kicking 64 yarders like it's nothing, too.
Here's how the possessions went in the second half. For the Giants. Touchdown, 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 punt, interception.
Tough.
Here's how they went for the Cowboys. Field goal, touchdown, touchdown, field goal, punt, punt, field goal.
One team ended with the points, one team didn't.
Insane.
Yeah,
I felt nothing about either of these two teams.
The Cowboys are pretty, I don't want to say out of sight, out of mind because it's the Cowboys, but I'm not taking them serious this year for anything.
You take a win however you can get it in week two.
Yep.
But when you're projecting out with the Cowboys, they're signing Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah.
It's like,
thanks, Jerry. I'm more worried about the Giants coming out of that game. I'm more concerned about what they're looking like. Malik Nabers looked a lot better in week two. The defense is, I mean, gave up 40 points, but you kind of wait to see what they are this season. Then kind of wait on Jackson Dart.
They stink.
Yeah. Well, that was your defense.
All right. Let's head to Detroit.
Fourth and goal. Fake to Montgomery.
Too easy.
To St. Brown. Into the end zone. His third touchdown today, and there he goes.
Right into the leap zone.
The Bears suck, man.
That's Fox, Kenny Albert, and Jonathan Vilma.
The Bears stink. My team stinks, so I can say the Bears stink as well.
Was so 52. That was a fourth and goal, middle of the fourth quarter. Dan Campbell goes for it. They score a touchdown to get to 52 points, which is their exact season high from last year when Ben Johnson, the Bears head coach, was the Lions OC.
Yeah, shout out Dan Campbell. Run up that score if you have to. I don't care.
Love it, dude. No, especially in that spot where you're the Lions. Man, you got smoked last week. Offense looked like trash. Go score as many points as humanly possible.
Yeah, and it's week two, whatever. Like, give him more time. Caleb Williams, what is your problem? Did you see the one where he's scrambling out, trying to make something out of nothing? Oh, let me throw it down there, over there. There's three DBs back there, and you hit the one that was farthest away from your wide receiver. He's not... I try not to be a hot take guy, but he's not very good right now.
My buddy, who's a Bears fan, hit me up last week and was like, I'm giving it till week six till I'm outside of Hallis Hall protesting Caleb Williams starting.
And I was in on the Bears, too, to start the season. I thought, oh, yeah, they got great skill players. Defense is starting to shape up or whatever. Like Ben Johnson, the coach everyone wanted. It's literally just Caleb Williams. Just you do it. That's it.
It's hard to be a believer in the Bears after a 52-21 loss to the Lions. I'm so sorry.
Oh, yeah, speaking of trash.
We got to go to Miami, where my guy Malik Washington returns a touchdown that put the Dolphins ahead, and then this happened.
To Gibson, who gets a running start on that catch. Gibson across the 30. Antonio Gibson still going. Can he return the favor? Down the sideline! You got to be kidding me! Back to back! A 90-yard touchdown!
Yeah, it's Andrew Catalan, Charles Davis, and Jason McCourty on the call for CBS.
The play right before, Malik Washington takes a punt to the house. Gives the Dolphins lead. I text Kyle Maxson. Malik Washington, all caps. Saving my life.
Big Malik Washington guy.
Yes. Malik Washington, saving my life. Text after, Dolphins just gave up a kick return touchdown on Malik Washington's punt return touchdown. This team sucks, man. But good for the Patriots. Good win for them going into Miami and getting a divisional win.
To win games, you have to win the game.
Are we really going
to
do that?
Not lose the game.
I'll tell you, I can't hear him. I can't hear him. Right now. I took my headphones off.
We will leave Miami.
Oh, thank you.
You're the first person to ever say thank you when I said we're going to leave Miami and head to Indiana.
I'm off Team Tua, by the way. Officially, we're off Team Tua.
I'm so proud of you right now. It's really difficult to get to that place.
Yes. No, I've tried to be Team Tua for the longest time. I tried. Oh, no, December, he's fine, blah, blah, blah. I'm off Team Tua. He's a good guy, but, yeah, he's not my quarterback anymore.
Let's head to Indianapolis.
It's Jones. They get around Ryman. Throw caught. Grabbed on the play by Pierce. Surtain the tackle.
That was Kevin Harlan with Trent Green on the call for CBS. So the Colts ended up kicking a game-winning field goal, except they missed a game-winning field goal from 60 yards out. And there was a penalty for a player using leverage on the Broncos, using leverage on a Colts player to try and block the kick. That's a 15-yard penalty. Colts get another try from 45 yards out. They drill it to beat the Broncos 29-28. I have some beef with this sequence, though, by Indianapolis.
Okay, what's your beef?
And the reason I played the completion to Alec Pierce is because that was a 3rd-and-6 completion that put the Colts at Denver's 43. Okay? That's lining up a 60-yard field goal-ish. Okay? Then they went Jonathan Taylor up the middle for 2 yards and called a timeout. On 2nd-and-8, they go Jonathan Taylor up the middle for 1 yard to get to the 40. You get to Denver's 40.
Yeah.
Then on 3rd-and-7, they go Jonathan Taylor up the middle again and lose 2 yards.
So playing scared.
They played for a 60-yard field goal.
When you got Brandon Arbery over in Dallas and 64 yarders, why not?
What? Because! He got put it in the air once.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right. That's the loser way to play the game, but it worked out.
Not even a creative run, nothing.
I hate the leverage call also being 15-yard penalty. Like that's
it's so dumb.
Make
it was
5 yards.
Ticky-tack leverage.
Yeah, make it 5 yards. We'll move on. We'll kick it again. Doesn't need to be 15 yards.
Yeah, 1,000%.
But I guess we're going to talk fraud watch later.
We'll talk fraud watch. Okay. Colts and Broncos are both going to be in the conversation. And finally, let's go to Arrowhead.
Blitz. Mahomes over the middle. Kelce. Oh, it's picked off. It's McCubo who's got it. And room to run. One man to beat. Oh. And he's taken out.
Andrew McCubo, his fourth quarter interception off of Travis Kelce's hands deep in the red zone. Would have been a touchdown if he held on to it. That was Kevin Burkhardt and Tom Brady on the call for Fox. The Chiefs cooked.
They're not cooked, but they're pretty vulnerable right now.
Yeah,
they I keep saying the worst they can do is a wild card loss, 10-7, mm-hmm. something like that. I don't know. They got to pick themselves up. They played two tough teams to start, though.
They have won. They have been the beneficiary of every bad bounce, of every bad call.
Are we finally seeing it go the other way?
Yes. I think that's what's happening. I don't think the Chiefs are demonstrably worse than they were last year.
Chiefs went 6-11 this season, and they had 11 one-score losses.
Right. Like, they're even last year, like, they block a field goal at the end of one game. Like, they just had all these things. And is that not a Chiefs-ass thing to happen?
Oh, yeah, it is.
Tight end, going to go in for a touchdown, ball bounces off his hands, interception going the other way.
That's exactly what the Chiefs do.
And that led to a what turned out to be a game-winning touchdown for the Eagles, that interception did. I'm not going to call the Chiefs cooked. Like I said, you go to every AFC championship game since Patrick Mahomes has been the starter, you're going to get a long leash. But
they have
it's
real
like, oh, the ball
issues,
isn't
going to
bounce there.
Yeah, they have real issues, though, which, yes. like, offensively, yeah, you don't have a number one receiver. You used to have Travis Kelce. I don't even know if you have Travis Kelce anymore.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a bit. Not a lot of people on Fraud Watch.
Yes.
We also have day 71 of Kuminga Watch to get to. On the Insiders, second hour coming up on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.